As per the census, we have 1.21 billion people. That's a lot of people. 1.21 billion people. 84% of them, they are Hindus. 11% Islamic people. 3% claim to be Christians. If you would ask me what percentage of them are truly born again, I should say one half of a 1% may be truly born again Christians. Anything crossing the path is a god for them. Those 84% of a billion Hindus, they have 33 million gods and goddesses. When I asked the Lord, "Lord, what can I do? How can I reach some of these people with the gospel?" The Lord laid the burden in my heart to start the South India Baptist Bible College. In 1983, starting a college, no building, no finance, no students, no library, somewhere I had to start. Rented a room, rented three rooms for $5. You cannot buy much for $5 today. That's where the history of the South India Baptist Bible College started. When that picture was taken, we had 721. We are going to celebrate our 30th anniversary on the 10th of March. We have graduated over 2,700 students so far. Started over 900 churches all across India and other places. And we have an academy we call Baptist Christian Academy. We have 586 students from K through 12th grade. 98% of those kids who study, they are from Hindu background. It provides us a tremendous opportunity to reach them with the gospel. Then my wife and I, we have taken 25 orphan kids. They are growing with us. 9 of them already trusted in the Lord for salvation. It's a great joy to see them grow spiritually and physically. Perhaps you may wonder, when the action is back in India, what am I doing here? And I tell people I'm not here raising a dime support for my personal needs. Many of those young men and women who come to the Bible College practically come with a shirt on their back. And I come to this country, somebody asked me, "How many trips you made?" This is my 49th time. And travel all across this land. And somebody also asked me, "Where am I staying?" And I said, "This time, Pastor put me a 7-star accommodation in Mr. and Mrs. Rue Arc's motel. It's a beautiful place, I'm telling you. I thank you so much for having me in your fine home. Wonderful, sweet people, and thank you so much. I enjoyed the time I spent with them, and thank you, Pastor, and I appreciate it very much. I'm not going to take any more time." He told me, "I don't know how many hours this battery is going to last. So we will work. I will quit, and you can go home and have your ice cream." All right, please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 34 to 39. Gospel of John chapter 4, reading from verse 34 to 39. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. Lord, I pray thou truly speak to our hearts. Challenge us, O Lord, to see the need of reaching the lost in and around the world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to bring four simple thoughts from this portion of God's word. The title of the message is this: No Chance to Harvest a Ripe Crop. No chance, no second chance to harvest a ripe crop. So if you don't harvest the ripe crop immediately, you are going to lose it. Same is true in winning souls. I would like to bring the uniqueness of the gospel. If you read this entire chapter, you find four thoughts tied up. The uniqueness of the gospel, the urgency of the missions, and the urging of the master. The master of the harvest urged, challenged the people. He said, lift up, look, launch out, and labor. If we all obey, we can truly reach a lot of people with the gospel. Finally, when we do this, there is going to be an unending joy. The reaper and the sower will be rejoicing together in all eternity. You know what your money, what your prayer is doing in India? Reaching the lost. When you are there in heaven, somebody is going to meet you and say, thank you for praying for me. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church helped. Therefore, I could have an education here and reach others with the gospel. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its painful wail for help. Go, stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march, publish his mercy to the world. Now the great question comes to us: would you join with the crowd of men and women who gave their life to reach the lost with the gospel? Ludwig Sindorff said, I have but one passion. It is he alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world. And henceforth that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. C.T. Studd said, some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. What a profound sayings are those. Now, I would like to ask you this question. Can you hear the cry of millions in hell, just like the rich man who cried in hell and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. I am tormented here in this flame. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That's going to be the cry of all humanity, irrespective of caste and creed, literate or illiterate, if they don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. You and I, we have an obligation, a duty to tell the people about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor. I owe a great debt. I don't know how am I going to pay. You and I, we are debtors to all mankind around us. The uniqueness of the gospel is this: the same gospel which saved the Samaritan woman was sufficient enough to save the ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus Christ by night. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The uniqueness of the gospel is sufficient for all people, irrespective of who they are, irrespective of their background, wherever they are. That's why the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Gospel has the power to save all mankind, irrespective of who they are. A wicked Samaritan woman, a religious man like Nicodemus. Gospel has the power to save souls and change lives. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, we read, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amazing truth. I have seen men and women, when they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, how God changed their lives. This reminds me about Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was an alcoholic by the age of 20. One day his little daughter was taken seriously ill. A faithful doctor attended the call, even though he knew there would be no payment. After attending the case, he reached into his own pocket, took out some money, and thrust into the hands of Mel Trotter and said, Mel Trotter, run, don't walk. Two blocks away, that pharmacy, you go and get the medicine for your daughter. If you walk, it will be too late. But what happened? As he was walking away with a little money in his hand, he saw a liquor shop close by there. He entered there and said, this is what he said. He rushed to the bar and shouted, let us all drink it is on me. He went back home the next day. There he found a crying crowd around a little box. As he went over and looked over the box, he saw that it was the body of his child, but looking very different. Someone had put on her clean clothes. There was even a pair of brand new little shoes. As he was standing there, that urge came to have another drink. Pretty soon, that urge overwhelmed him, and he slipped the new shoes from the cold feet of his child and rammed them into his pocket and went for a drink. Mel Trotter decided to end his life by drowning in the Lake Michigan. As he was nearing the lake, someone said, why don't you go in there, bud? It is nice and warm. As he went through the open door, that was Pacific Garden. That day, Mel Trotter, that day, Harry Monroe was the speaker. The gospel was presented. Mel Trotter trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and God. What I'm trying to say, gospel has the power to change. Can you imagine such a man? When the gospel was presented, he truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That truly changed the life of that man. I often tell, gospel can change a crooked man straight, a profligate woman pure. And that's what it has happened in the life of those people. Savages become saints, headhunters become soul winners, multitudes of wicked heathen have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. This reminds me about William Pettigrew. I don't know how many of you know the story about William Pettigrew, a missionary from Scotland. He came to India about 100 years ago. He labored in three states in the northeastern part of India: Assam, Nagaland, and Manipur. labored among the headhunters. Hundreds and thousands of people trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Today, if you would go to Nagaland, you find churches with 8,000 to 10,000 people. One man, William Pettigrew, labored there in those regions. The uniqueness of the gospel is this: it can save any person. That's why Apostle Paul said, gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Thank God, God has saved our lives. Now the question comes to us, what am I going to do with this gospel? God has entrusted the responsibility of giving this gospel in our hands. Now we here in the mission gospel, mission meeting, mission week, evangelists come, they preach about the need of reaching the world with the gospel. But we hear, what are we doing? Are we getting excited to reach the people around us with the gospel? That's the great question that we need to ask. The Lord said, the urgency of the mission. In chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. We have an outstanding example about immediate obedience in the book of Acts. Philip heard. The Lord asked him to go. He went. But many times we sit around and say the time hasn't come, just like in the days of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet of the restored remnant after the 70 years of captivity. The theme of Haggai was the unfinished temple, and his mission was to admonish and encourage the builders. The response of the people given to Haggai was this: thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now I would like to ask you the question, when is the proper time for us to go and win souls? The answer is now. We need to make use of the time and the talents God has given to us. Let us get involved in doing something in reaching the lost with the gospel. The third thing, the urging of the master of missions. Verse 37 on, it says, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labor. There are 4 words I would like to bring before you. The first word is this. The Lord said to his disciples, lift up, lift up, look on the fields. Then he said, launch out and labor. Now we need to have a good look. Lift up your eyes. This was purely a rebuke to the disciples. The disciples regarded Samaritans as most unlikely field. Samaria was most unlikely field to work in. They never dreamed of telling the Samaritans that the Messiah is just outside their gate. The Samaritan woman just trusted in the Lord, invited the villagers to come and see the Messiah. Her message was, come and see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? The disciples, they did not take heed. They did not publish this glorious message to those people. Now then the Lord said, look on the field, verse 35. On the importance of missions, education, someone made this comment and said, God cannot lead you on the basis of information you don't have. The field is the world. The Lord said, look, look up. It is a command. Look on the field. Now, I would like to challenge you to look. Lift up your head and see what is around us. Let me give you some statistics. 60% of the world population live in the countries of Asia. 60% in that 1040 window. Africa, 990 million. Europe, 728 million. South America, 392. Australia, 34 million. Look at the megacities of the world. Tokyo with 35 million. Jakarta, 22 million. Mumbai, there are 4 mega cities in the world are there in India. Mumbai with 21 million, Delhi with 20 million, Calcutta with 20 million, Bangalore with 15 million. There are 6,909 non-living languages in the world, and half of them don't have even a portion of the Bible in their own language. Each second, 4 babies are being born. A 24-hour day, 353,015 children are being born. Each second, 2 people die. Every day, 146,357 people die. There are Islamic countries with 0% Christians. Saudi Arabia, 100% Islam. Turkey, 99.8% Islam. Afghanistan, 99% Islam. United Arab Emirates, 96% Islam. Now, the great question comes to us, what are we going to do? How are we going to reach these people with the gospel? May I suggest to you tonight, the answer to reach the world is to be obedient to what the Lord asked us to do. He is still asking us the question, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That was a general call given in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord did not particularly call Isaiah and said, Isaiah, I'm talking to you. The Lord said, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah got up and said, here are my Lord, send me. Now I trust some young people, or I don't know to whom God is speaking tonight. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart by seeing the need of all these people. Where are they going? I often look at this big crowd of people, thousands and thousands of people. If you would come to Coimbatore, over 2 million people groping in darkness, worshipping idols, and I often look at them and say, where are they going? The answer, you and I, we know where they are going. They are going to die and go to hell. What can we do? What can we do in this troubled world? What part are you going to play? The answer is very simple. To be obedient to what God said, the Lord said, go into the world and preach this gospel to all creatures. That commission is for all of us. The Lord said, launch out and labor. Now, the question I would like to ask you is this. Would you launch out and labor for the Lord Jesus Christ? Also, the Lord said, one soweth and another reapeth. Hudson Taylor, he was moved by the Great Commission. This is what Hudson Taylor said. If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all for China. What a tremendous mindset that man had. John Keith Falconer, he said, I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. John Knox cried out and said, give me Scotland or else I die. What part are we planning to play? Oswald Smith said, we talk about the second coming. Half the world has never heard of the first. Carl Henry said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Gospel is a good news. If it gets there on time, that is going to help. Otherwise, no. May God give us the burden. Then what happened? There is going to be an unending joy. Notice verse 36. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The gospel is the work of interdependence. One sows, another reaps. You may not be able to reap, you may be able to sow, but someday God will send someone else there to reap. A holy partnership is necessary to reach the lost. That's why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we read, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Samaritan woman, she heard, she trusted. Immediately she went back to the village and said, come and see a man who told me all about me. Come and see the man. The whole village came. And they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of one woman. This also reminds me about Charlotte Tucker. Perhaps you may ask, well, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, what can I do? Think about Charlotte Tucker. At the age of 54, the Lord called her. She tried to argue with the Lord and said, Lord, don't you know that I'm 54 years old? What am I going to do in the northern part of India? My skin color is different. I don't speak the way they speak. The moment I go there, they would kill me. The Lord put a heavy burden in her heart and said, Charlotte, I'm talking to you. I want you to go to the northern part of India. She obeyed the call of God at the age of 54. 18 long years, she served the Lord in the northern part of India. The amazing fact, in 1 year time, she mastered the Hindustani language. 1 year time, she mastered the Hindustani language. Never came back for a furlough to England. On a Christmas Eve, after 18 years, she went to be with the Lord. Even today, people speak in the northern part of India, her commitment and the way in which she shared the gospel with other people. Just like the Samaritan woman, she said, come and see what he did for my life. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. One preacher put it this way. One preacher said, service is like, that is a matter of basin theology. I will explain. Don't get upset with me and I will explain. We can either wash our hands of the opportunity like Pilate did with Jesus, or we can take the basin like Jesus did and wash the saints' feet. The opportunity is there. We can do it or don't do it. Now the question is, how are you going to respond to the call of God to serve him? Let us follow the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. When the night comes, no man can work. I would like to close with this example. There was once, in a church of England, there was a clergyman. He was gloriously saved. Then he started to preach the gospel to his people around him. And many of those people started trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he started to preach in other areas. The other preachers, they got upset with him and said, we need to inform the bishop. You are not doing anything but preaching and preaching and preaching. Finally, the bishop came, called this man, the saved man, and said, Pastor, I hear you don't do anything except preaching throughout the year you are preaching. The man looked at the bishop and said, oh, bishop, I don't preach throughout the year. Only two seasons of the year I preach. He said, I'm glad to hear that you preach only two seasons. What are those two seasons? In season and out of season. I thought that's a glorious answer the man gave. In season and out of season. Friends, let me tell you this. Faith comes by hearing God's word. You need not to be an eloquent preacher. It to give the gospel to men and women who are groping in darkness. The Lord said, go into the world and share this glorious gospel with mankind. Jesus Christ died, for God so loved the world. We cannot save ourselves. The simple truth, Jesus Christ died as a substitute for them and us. That's the truth of the gospel. I have seen on a regular basis men and women coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. I would like to emphasize this fact and say, don't sit around and say, There are 4 more months. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time for us to get across the street or go overseas. I know this church is a tremendous and wonderful church. You try to reach the lost with the gospel. But more can be done if we give ourselves totally and completely in the hands of God. One lifetime opportunity. Let us not waste it. The Lord is asking this profound question to us. To whom shall I send? Who will go for us? There are a lot of young people sitting in front of me. Maybe God is speaking to their hearts. May the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, challenge our hearts. There is the uniqueness of the gospel. Gospel is for one gospel for all mankind. The urgency is this. In verse 35 it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. That may be true of the sowing of the seed and harvest. But when it comes to winning souls, that's not true. Now is the time. The urging of the master, he said, lift up, look, have a look around you. Think about the millions of people around the world. Think about 1.21 billion people groping in darkness in India, professing themselves to be wise. As the Bible tells us, they will become fools. So you need to have a look, good look around you. Think about the Islamic world, the Buddhist world, the Zoroastrians, and all kinds of people. If you do that, there is going to be an unending joy. Someone would meet you in eternity, in heaven, and say, thank you for sharing that glorious gospel with me. And all eternity, those blood-washed ones will be rejoicing together. Would you take it as a challenge? And the Lord is calling. He is in the business of calling men and women. He is recruiting people. All what we need to do is be obedient to the call of God. I wonder how many of you would say, Lord, here am I, send me. The Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. He is looking for laborers to labor for him. May God Almighty put the word in your heart, challenge your hearts to see this gospel is given to someone on a regular basis and say, here is the gospel by which they can get the forgiveness of sins. What a glorious and wonderful thing for us to go to that place to preach tonight. Many of them truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has taken the burden, Dr. Wicker and others, went there and shared the gospel. Many of them trusted in the Lord. Someday, those poor men will be there in heaven along with all others because someone has taken the time to go and share this gospel. May God Almighty help us. Stir our hearts. Lift up. Look on. Launch out. And labor for the cause of Christ. When the night comes, the Lord said, when the night comes, no man can do anything. No man can work. Today is the day time in your life and my life that we have to take every opportunity God gives to our hand to reach the lost with the gospel. May God speak to our hearts, Pastor.
Bow our heads, please. Close your eyes. They're coming to prepare for the invitation. This is a great message. May the Lord add his blessing to it. As he was preaching, I was thinking and meditating. The thought that hit me is we all give our life to something. You are giving your life to something. Why not give it to God and to the gospel? One life to live, that's it. And only the life that's given to Jesus makes the difference. And I trust if somebody's here, maybe one of these young people or somebody else, say, I feel a special tug in my heart. Come and talk to God about it. As they begin to play through, we'll pray here in just a moment. But you say, Jody, where does it all start? It starts right now tonight. It starts with your neighborhood. It starts with your coworkers. It starts with where you are. And be sensitive to the Lord. Be obedient to Him today. And He'll show you other things. If you're not willing to go across the street, you'll never be willing to go across the ocean. And it's not that God's going to call everybody across the ocean, but if he calls you or calls me, he has bought us with a wonderful price, and he deserves our best. Let's all stand together, please. Father, we love you and thank you for this service. Thank you for Dr. Cherry and his burden, how you've used him in a mighty way. And I pray that you help this church to do its part. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us in a very clear way. And help us to do business with you, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you need to be saved, if you need the Lord as your Savior, if you don't know that heaven's your home, come and talk to us about it. We'll take a Bible, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you just want to come and pray as Brother Gary sings. Come now, would you do that?
So little time, the harvest will be over.
That harvest will be over in very little time.
Done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest. And hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
They're playing through softly, folks. Folks have responded. I want to give them time here with the Lord. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about through. Have you ever just meditated on when you're going to see the Lord for the first time? If you're anything like me, I try to picture what he must look like. The Word of God reveals some of this to us, but there's no way that we can fully understand what the Lord must look like. If you're saved, someday you're going to see. That's enough to shout about, friends. But I want to ask you this question. If you saw him tonight, have you given your best effort to get the gospel around the world? I mean, have you really done your best? You don't need to answer this. This is between us and the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I promise you, when we see him, there will not be one of us to say, why did I give him so much? But I can guarantee you that maybe all of us will say, I wish I could go back and do it over again. You say, you're making me feel bad. Good. Because I'm talking about myself. How good has God been to us? Somebody brought this unique, I like that, the unique gospel. Somebody brought it to you. Somebody brought it to me. Are we doing our best to see that others hear the gospel? So what are we going to do with it? Say, boy, God's using that, dear man. Thank God I'm giving faith promise money. Are you listening to me? Thank God if you are, but that is not your full responsibility. Our full responsibility is every day of our life, as we're out and about, to share the unique gospel with everyone we come in contact with. May the Lord burn this on our heart. Show us the importance of it. Amen. And I'm glad when the gospel's given, Dr. Cherian, that people respond. They really do. They respond. May the Lord help us with this. I'm going to ask Danny if you and Zach will lead Dr. Cherian out to the lobby. I'm sure many of you folks will want to meet him and greet him, shake his hand. Can you imagine establishing a Bible college And out of that Bible college, over 900 local churches have been established. That's phenomenal, isn't it? I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the deacons, those that are involved in the deacons meeting. If you'll go ahead and make your way out, if you want to shake Dr. Cherian's hand and go and make your way to the blue room at this time, that'd be great. I'm going to ask Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, just to come right here to the podium and dismiss us in a word of prayer, sir.
Lord, our hearts have been challenged. God, we need you to continue to impress upon us that there's a lost world all around us. There's lost people in our families, lost people we work with, lost people in our neighborhoods. And Lord, I pray that somehow you would burden our hearts, that we would do all we can to reach them for Christ. Think of Alan Reed this week. He'll be having surgery. We pray that would go well. Be with Pat. You know the burden she's carrying today, and loss of this family member, and now her husband's having very serious surgery. We pray that they'd be able to help Alan. God, we pray that you would be with our church family, Lord, and help us as we go to be faithful, spreading the gospel everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.